I thought it would be wise to have a follow-up gathering after the last one, which was for some seemingly a sobering up or a somber warning. But a few online mentioned that they were made to feel some fear, or thought that it was instilling fear, but in fact quite the opposite. The intention is always to go beyond the illusion of fear. But it is prudent to prepare now by taking refuge with God in a very powerful and sustained way, because it becomes ever harder to do it as we approach the cataclysm itself. And so satyogis should all be making final preparations for jivan mukti without delay, so that we fulfill our function. And that requires that we realize the truth. The truth that is expressed, for example, in the famous syllogism of Shankara: the world is unreal, only Brahman is real. The world is Brahman. If you perceive the world as Brahman, or as Shiva, as the Buddha nature, as the one mind, the one infinite consciousness, not as a multiplicity of beings and objects and things in space-time, but the pure manifestation of God consciousness as eternally present and not in the illusion of the flux of time, but steadily witnessing without entering into or projecting consciousness as if it were a separate being in the matrix. Withdraw your consciousness from any projection into a separate ego and recognize that every being is a manifestation of the same one self. There is only one self. So there should be no questions about who you are or who anyone else is or what this is all about. This cosmic drama is here in order to bring about conditions for the revelation of the one self. And this is the moment of truth in which that revelation is to be fully manifested in our consciousness. To do that, we must be beyond all the malas. Nirmala, what are the three malas that we must be beyond, as you have done according to your name? Do you know the three?
Well, I know there is kamala. Kamala.
Karma mala. Is that what you mean?
Maybe. Kamala. No?
No. No, that's something else. There are three malas. Malas mean stains. And in this case, stains of false belief, false paradigms of reality, false understandings of the nature of the real. And the first one, the core one, is the anava mala, which means the false belief that you are an individual being in a world of multiplicity, when in fact you are Shiva and cannot be anything else. But you can only realize you are Shiva by withdrawing all belief in ego, in being a bodily being in a world, and in having any intentions around individual ambition or achievement, but only focused on the will of God as the self, that then moves the individual body and mind through the world without any ego or any split of will or intention or and without any personal desire. So it's the freedom from all of that that is the passing beyond the anava mala. And the second is the karma mala, the illusion that you are a doer, that you have agency, the illusion that you have a responsibility to do something as a separate individual, or even the ability and free will to do something as a separate individual. That illusion also will be seen through when this mala has been transcended. And as a result, there will be no karma coming to you, no suffering, no consequences, no backlash, no self-betrayal, whether it comes internally or as an external blowback. So being beyond the karma mala is essential. And then the final one is, does anyone know? It's the more comprehensive maya mala, to be beyond all maya, all illusions, all contexts and frames of reference within the phenomenal plane, and all beliefs, all indoctrinations, all attitudes. So to be completely free of any illusion and only the full truth of the presence of Shiva shining with full splendor as oneself remains one's state of consciousness without wavering, without change, and an unbroken state of atma-vichara, of that complete unity with God consciousness as one's only self. So we should all have achieved transcendence of those three malas, and then whatever seems to occur in the illusory plane will not be able to touch or affect you. And you will be able to offer blessings and light and love and joy and upliftment with the vibrational frequency that you are emanating naturally to the entire planetary morphic field, for any consciousness in a state of prayer to attune to and be able to rise into Shiva consciousness, which may be interpreted by different people as Christ consciousness or Buddha mind or presence of Allah or Ein Sof or however anyone languages or conceptualizes the presence of the God Self, that will be granted. And it is our seva to emanate that vibration as a community with a very strong, unified transmission that is constantly going out to the world as a beacon of light and love and peace in these times of tribulation. So I hope that everyone is fulfilling that function that God has given us. And is without any individual karmic intentions remaining that could interfere with that service. And the more we abide in the state of Shiva consciousness, the more simple life becomes, the less desire or need there is for anything, the less there is any attachment or any kind of fear or worry or concern, because the complete trust and faith in God takes care of all that must unfold. And it's in that state of surrender that the optimal flow of experience occurs to bring about the graduation of the consciousness from this plane into the eternal light. We are in the day before the first day of the world. And that day is called the last day. But it is not the end. It is only the finishing of one story, one complete drama. In all of its five acts, the five yugas. And then a new cosmic drama shall begin. And those who wish to star in that new drama are now auditioning for those roles or for the position of director or playwright or the ultimate state that has transcended it all. May you choose your part wisely. But it can only be played authentically if you are in that state of God consciousness now. You can play the role of a goddess or a god in the next age of the gods that is about to come onto the stage of time. And so each one has a different destiny, and you will know that destiny by your determination to attain liberation now, or not, or your desire for some other delight or goal in life that will bring you to an act in the cosmic drama that is to unfold on the next round that will be appropriate for the performance of such an intention. But because egos do not come into the drama until the end of, well, really, perhaps the middle of the Copper Age, but not before that, and only at a very sattvic state, and ego consciousness only comes into anything like its current state in the middle of Kali Yuga. So make sure you're not in a state of that nature by the end of this timeline. If you wish to have the full benefit of the creative intelligence and joy and power and beauty of the divine drama, or of the witnessing of that drama from beyond. And in the supreme state, there is no drama. There's only the infinite information, instantaneously grokked, but without the illusion of an unfoldment of time at all. So I hope that there are no misunderstandings, at least among satyogis, about the nature of the teachings and about the truth of non-duality, and no confusions as to what you want to attain so long as there is a you separate from the real self. But our state as yogis should be completely fearless, so we can transmit that energy of peace and of serenity even in the midst of the final holocaust that is to occur within the illusory plane, and help to bring souls who are suffering up into the light and into the sphere of God's love. So that's basically what I had to communicate this evening, and I'll open the floor if there are any questions or confusions or doubts or any other kinds of questions, please feel free. Welcome back, just in time. So, if you do have a question, I hope you'll go to the mic and ask it.
Thank you for tonight's teaching. I needed it. That was the feeling that came up for me. As you were speaking, just many things were coming together, questions coming up, things I want to share, and of course I can't think of them all, but it's okay. I tried to absorb and open, I should say, as much as I could. Because today I haven't felt very open. I felt more contracted. I felt agitated. Perhaps the stain of the Maya. what was it? Forgot the name. I remember the word stain, but.
Well, there are three.
But the mala. That was the word.
Mala. Yeah.
Maya mala. And I was thinking about, well, first when you were mentioning all three, take care of one, and it seems like you take care of all of them. They seem like a package deal, but maybe that's oversimplifying it. But it was really useful to learn or be reminded of those, and I was applying them to how I felt today, how I feel now, and thinking about what is stained exactly. Because I feel stained today. I feel like I'm coming to class stained. And it's a word that really applies right now. And I don't feel the real self can't be stained. It can't be touched by any of this nonsense. Is it the soul?
Mm-mm.
Is it this thing I think is an ego,
mm-hmm.
which is not real? How can it be stained?
Exactly. Okay. That's the first stain.
The stain is just an illusion that there is a stain, it seems.
And there is an ego.
Yeah.
The ego itself is the stain.
So, yeah, I feel like when I say I'm staining myself, I realize I'm saying that from an egoic standpoint. Standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. And the ego becomes a stain on the soul,
uh-huh.
but the soul can remove the stain. The ego can't remove its own stain because it is its own stain. But the soul can remove all three.
And how I feel like my reactions have been staining of the field, of the of others, of the energy field. So
that's the karma mala.
There it is. and also I was reflecting on what a waste of a day to go through. I mean, it was had all the it was not a terrible day, but it wasn't a great day. It wasn't a blissful day.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the day go?
Mm-hmm.
It's my own fault, let's say. Like, so what a waste of the last day before the first day, or however you mentioned it. That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it should be, you never know when it's your last day.
This is true.
So I have no excuse to be in Maya to let any of those malas be affected. So. Anyway, those are some of the thoughts that came up, and I really appreciated the teaching.
All right, wonderful. Make the determination now to remember not to fall into any of those malas and to be in remembrance, loving remembrance of God, and you'll be brought up into non-duality with the Supreme Self.
Thank you. So, yes, my name Nirmala has been a great teaching for me. I've had many names over the years. I've believed myself to be all of them.
Actually, none of them.
None of them. And when I was given this name Nirmala, and I was told it meant pure and perfect and spotless and without defeats and without faults, and it just came to me at a time where I just felt so defeated and so stained. So it just made me realize that I wasn't who I believed myself to be. And this has carried me forward many times to remember who I am and who is this stainless one. And coming here and with the teachings here, because when I got this name, it was the first big shift actually into understanding that I was not the ego. And then coming here, that journey has continued. And
It was just the teaching yesterday and something Tara said also that just made me, it kind of clicked for me, the position, the right position to have. Where is my throne? Where do I sit as the stainless one? Mm-hmm. And look at what I am not, because it is there, it's still there, the ego. But I can look at what, and I can know what I'm not, instead of feeling identified with what I am not and looking for the stainless one.
Certainly.
So that is the shift right now. I feel I'm grateful for having found that position, and thank you very much for your teachings, too.
All right. Thank you. And remember, the real self that you are is not only egoless, but bodiless, and not here within the phenomenal plane. You have just projected a tiny sliver of your consciousness into this plane, but you are infinite consciousness that's all-encompassing and all-pervading, but you're not a separate individual. And you can see yourself mirrored in every being and in the supreme light that transcends all. Okay? The real self is nirgun, means without qualities. And so there is nothing to perceive because there's no thing here. The self is not a thing. And so the self cannot be perceived with any objective qualities. But internally, it's there as bliss, as love, as joy, as ultimate radiance and intelligence. And that's it, but without any form and without any limit in space or time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shunya, for this teaching also. Thank you. I've also been feeling quite stained today. I think it's the anavamala in the chest. There's a, just a covering over it. And what I notice in the effort of trying to make a more sustained effort is that there's periods where it seems like there's an elation and there's a release from it and more of a sense of success in not feeling that stain and disidentifying from it. And then from there, it goes again into a phase of feeling defeated by it and feeling under control of it. That's mainly what my question is about. And I understand this concept of it being a war, and maybe that's what it should feel like. But perhaps somewhere I'm also doubting if I'm not too much in the karma mala of applying doership in the process rather than just abiding.
I agree with that. All of this is just a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative has two polarities, an ego and a superego. And the ego tries to feel free, and then the superego defeats it, and you go back and forth. And there's an enjoyment of this ping-pong game, and both polarities are within the ego. So one has to witness this, but in silence, without any belief in it. The war is not real, because the duality is not real. And so it's simply a game that the ego is playing of hide-and-seek and of separation and attachment to whoever that other polarity represents in the past or in the world or as a desire for some kind of fulfillment from another rather than from God, from the self. And so it's simply a running away from the soul and the supreme self into this game that obscures the truth of who you really are. And at some point, you'll decide this is a boring game. It doesn't matter what's happening in the chest because you're not the body anyway. So let it go. And the more you let it go, the more there will be peace and relaxation in the body because you won't be contracted in it trying to achieve some holding on from the separation from perhaps the inner baby and the mother and the whole construct of ego consciousness that is being attached to. And opening to infinity and to joy and to love that your ego can never know, never imagine. And at some point you'll decide to stop cheating yourself and stop playing this fruitless, futile game and become one with the Supreme Lord. Why go for less in this last opportunity that you have for self-realization?
Mm-hmm. Is that a realization that will just come at some point?
It will come effortlessly when you silence the mind and aren't concerned about the body, since you're not the body.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on it. Don't obsess about it. Because you're creating what you're obsessing about, and the more you obsess, the more powerful the contraction becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a self-created piece of maya that has no reality. So why focus on that when you can focus on the real and receive blessings and grace and joy and light and become a teacher and a guide and a healer and a benevolent benefactor of the world through the consciousness of that supreme power.
That sounds beautiful.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you, Shunya.
So last week we watched this documentary on William Blake.
Mm.
I found it very beautiful, very inspiring. There was a paradoxical line in it that I've been meaning to ask you about, actually, though, because I felt like it was one of the most potentially fruitful. And in it he said that the active evil is better than the passive good. And the way that I interpreted it was evil and good are used in cheeky ways in the sense that what one becomes or calls good is like a habit or a form of being that one settles into, like a comfort zone sort of thing. And the evil is interpreted as that by whatever, the one who's identifying with the passive good as an act of breaking that and freeing from that. But I would be curious to hear your thoughts on it.
It's interesting because Nietzsche used the same terms, although he said that the problem was that we had fallen from active engagement to reactive, but the passive is reactive. And so I would speculate that Blake is intending to mean is that as long as you're in the illusion, take action and don't be a passive victim of it. And think you're being good because you're not speaking truth and, you know, you're not making waves and you're not standing up for what is good, you see, but allowing the good to be victimized, right? So we don't do that. You don't be a victim. That's not what being at peace means. The real action that is an active good rather than an active evil, which is still within the plane of illusion, is the transcendence of ego, the killing of the ego belief, the anavamala, and then the transcendence of all the malas into the supreme good, which is also the power to destroy evil and to end an evil world, but to do it out of love and out of grace. So I think either of these two polarities that you mention are still within the illusory construct and must be transcended.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, it seems like there are no further questions. I hope that means that everyone's at peace. Everyone's in the remembrance of Shiva and beyond all the malas. In that case, let's meditate together for another few minutes before we adjourn. Maybe we can turn the lights down a little and we can all remain in unbroken atma-vichara and completely in that state of deep inwardness in which there are no malas, no gunas, no maya whatsoever, no thought forms, no waves of fluctuating affect, but a complete flat line of serene, silent stillness in total presence. And feel how the silence itself washes away any stains and clears the whiteboard of the mind of any residue of egoic thoughts. Abide as the supreme I am. The one absolute self. The creator of the cosmic dream. Its sustainer and its terminator. Abide in love. Surrender to love so that any other trace of negative affect, whether anger or sadness, confusion, despair, or any sort of worry or emotional entanglement in illusion is dissolved. realize you are bodiless, formless, egoless. Timeless. Simply the pure and total presence of the eternal nature of mind and heart combined. And if there is still any lingering sense of duality, cling to the beloved. Until the sense of I merges. With the source of love. May we be completely free of any tendency to fall into the illusion of any kind of Maya or the illusion of being a doer, an actor, an agent, a being in a world. And are completely free of the ego delusion. So that we may serve God at the highest level and graduate from the wheel of life and death. Silence is your real nature. Peace is your nature. The joy of freedom. And of divinity. Is your nature. return to that true nature effortlessly. Shanti, Shanti. Blessings to you all for complete realization your true nature as divine beings of love and of truth and of deathlessness, manifestations of the one and only real self. Namaste.
Namaste.